happens sometimes when I get on the table there. Acts chapter 6 this morning. Just looking at a short passage, verses 1 through 7. Next week's Easter already. Way early, it seems like. Sermon next week, if you want to read ahead, think about it. It's going to be chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to be preaching out of that section. So, but this morning we'll be in chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And this is it's a short section, but as we've come through the first four chapters of Acts, of course, the last couple of weeks, my sermons were out of chapter 4. But we see that the church was on a roll, and everything was going well, and the descriptions at the end of chapter 2 and at the end of chapter 4 show that the church was functioning together in unity and in love, and everything was rolling forward very positively. And then chapter 5 happens, and I'll probably preach about this in April sometime, but chapter 5 happens, that bizarre incident with Ananias and Sapphira, where they go to church and then they end up dying while they're there, struck down by the Holy Spirit. And then there's more persecution. Then we come to chapter 6 and there's some more problems. So Acts, you know, when it starts out describing the history of the church in very positive ways, it doesn't gloss over the fact that there were some problems too. And it tackles, or Luke's description of these problems are important for us to see, because it helps us to see that even in that earliest church, even as things should have been going as smoothly as possible because everything was brand new, they still had some problems, they still had some bumps in the way. And what we're going to see today is how they were able to work past some of these problems in chapter 6 here. So I'm going to go ahead and read the passage, and then we'll get into the sermon. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Thank you, God, at this time, again, that we have your word preserved for us so that we can read it, reflect on it, and hear lessons from it. I pray, God, as we think about this brief, short passage, that we would see the deeper meaning within it, that you are constantly working behind the scenes to give, to bring your church to the level that you want it to be at. And that even when there are problems, God, that you will help us to find ways through and around those problems when we trust in you and focus on the word and on prayer. Help us, God, to see that the church here in this case was able to grow as a result of resolving the issue that was dividing them, that it didn't strictly affect the people who were involved at that time, but that they were able to grow past that and to continue spreading your word. Help us, God, on the basis of that, to realize that one of our biggest tasks as in being your church is to help your word spread. And we know, God, as we look around, that there are so many people that need to hear your word, need to be brought into your church. And I pray, God, that as we continue to go through the book of Acts, as we read it on our own, as we hear it read at church, as we hear lessons from this book, that you would help us to be encouraged with the idea that we can share your word with others. Sometimes we can teach it. Sometimes we can share it by how we act. Sometimes we can share a word even in a conversation with another person that might help them come closer to you. So help us, God, to have that spirit of evangelism that wants to reach out, that wants to share, and help us to become more and more like the church that you want us to be. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his life and his teaching, for his death for our sins, and for his resurrection. We await his return, and we offer this prayer in his name. Amen. As we've been going through Acts in the last couple of weeks, as I've preached in chapter 4, we've seen that the church has been pretty successful overall. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, and thousands end up converting and being baptized into the name of Jesus. In chapters 3 and 4, he preaches, he heals, and then as a result of some conflict, many more thousands come to be converted as well. The word of God, it seems, can't be stopped. The church is on a roll, it's on the move, it's an active, vibrant, growing church. We see that detailed for us at the end of chapter 2, the end of chapter 4, when the picture that Luke describes for us is a picture of the church in unity. Then we see that bump in the road in chapter 5 where Ananias and Sapphira are apparently representing themselves over and above the rest. But once that becomes dealt with, the church thrives again. And the word of God continues to not be able to be stopped. But now, as we come to chapter 6, the early church, which was moving along so well, seems to suddenly have stalled out. And the reason that the church has stalled out now is because of some complaining that was happening in their midst. Maybe it was legitimate complaining, maybe it wasn't. The text doesn't directly address that, although I think it implies that it probably was somewhat legitimate. But there's an issue where the widows were being given food, and food was being distributed to them daily so that they would have enough to eat. And yet it seemed as though one of the groups of widows was receiving more food or better food or whatever the case was, and some weren't. So the Greek Jews were complaining against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked. And so this complaint came in that although these people were being brought together, that it was still the Jews who were being provided for while the non-Jews were being overlooked. And as we know from the book of Acts and from other places in the New Testament, that was a major issue in the early church, was trying to bring together Jews and Gentiles into one family. And sometimes the Jews thought that they were better than the Gentiles, that they were more privileged than the Gentiles were because they had been God's people for so long. And at other times, Gentiles thought that they were better than the Jews because if the Jews had been doing everything so successfully, God wouldn't have created this plan through Jesus to bring the Gentiles in. And it was almost as though God had to work around the Jews to bring the Gentiles in because they were so unfaithful. And so there was constant conflict. And so even something that would appear to be as simple as sharing food so that nobody would be hungry and that there would be no needs in that church, something even that simple ended up becoming a conflict to the point where the Gentiles would look around and say, our widows aren't being given the right amount of food. They're being overlooked. And we're making sure that the Jewish widows are taken care of, but not our own widows. And it was a problem for them. And so they complained about it, and the 12 had to do something about it. And however legitimate the complaint might have been, it threatened to load the apostles up with too much work. And that's what they said in verse 2. If they did the work, they weren't going to be able to devote themselves to what was most important for them. And so we see in verse 2 that they mention... as they gather all the disciples together, they brought the whole church together and they said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So they saw that for them to address the problem was going to create further problems down the road. So what were they going to do? They were facing the situation where the church was stalled out. And what were they going to do about that? Sometimes I wonder if we feel the same way when we think about either the church that we're a part of now or maybe a different church that we've been a part of, when we feel like we all want to be part of a vibrant, growing, strong church, but sometimes we feel as though we stall out. And I think this brief passage here gives us some reasons why some churches struggle and why some churches don't grow. In some cases, as in verse 1 here, some churches are besieged by complaints that aren't addressed or dealt with. And as we all know, some people just like to complain, and not all complaints are valid. But sometimes people complain because they feel as though they've said things over and over again, and they're just not getting through, and they don't know what else to do. And so they're in their effort to try to get some attention to the thing that they're concerned about or struggling with, they end up complaining about it. And as we all know, if complaints don't get handled or don't get dealt with or don't get addressed, they can sometimes creep in and become part of the culture. We've all been around people that seem to do nothing but complain. And those people can really bring down others. And when that's magnified in a church, things can become problematic. And churches that become known for complaints tend to stall out. If we look at what the 12 acknowledged in verse 2 about having to neglect what was most important for them to do in order to wait on tables, we can also see that sometimes in churches, there's an expectation that some who are already doing the work of ministry in that church need to step up and do even more work because others aren't being involved. And when that happens, people tend to take on too much. They get tired. They get frustrated. Maybe they begin complaining themselves, and things start to slow down and even stall out because people can only do so much. And when they're overburdened with things, something has to give. And then when something gives, less work happens. In verse 3, when Peter and the 12 talk about choosing 7 men from among them who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and they'll give the responsibility of overseeing the food distribution to them, we see that sometimes churches run into problems because they fail to appoint or train enough people to take over a ministry. If you've ever experienced a situation where you said, I'd like to volunteer for this or that, or somebody said to you, you're going to be volunteering for this or that, and then you just get thrown into it without any kind of equipping for this is what you need to do or this is how we've done it, you realize how frustrating that can be or how difficult it can be to actually know what to do sometimes. And if you've ever found yourself in a spot where you have a task assigned to you and you don't know how to do it, it wouldn't be a surprise or a stretch to realize that you might slow down or stall out at that point because you just don't know what to do. And in verse 4, when we see the 12 saying that they need to give their attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word, we see that another failure that churches can fall into where they begin to have problems develop is when prayer and the ministry of the word lose their place at the center of the church's experience. See, the 12 realized that they had to hold that at the center. That as the leaders, that was the thing that had to be most important to them. They could go out and do a number of things, but if they did, prayer and the ministry of the word was going to have to go by the wayside so they could handle these other things. And they realized, we have to hold on to these things and get some other men who can handle the food distribution. When a church fails to focus on prayer and the ministry of the word, they become too consumed with their own ministries and programs, many of which are good. But if we become too focused on what we're doing and not focused enough on prayer and on the ministry of the word, that goes by the wayside and we're doing a bunch of things, but without the proper understanding of why. These things threaten unity and the proper growth and functioning of the church because they create tension and struggles and they get in the way of unity and of the word and of prayer. And so we see what the apostles did, what the 12 did in chapter 6 here, is they found a way to share ministry while remaining centered in prayer and in the ministry of the word. And multiple times in this very short passage, the 12 mentioned that they had to stay focused on the ministry of the word and on prayer, and by doing so, they found a way to keep unity at the center. They solved problems through ministry, and they empowered others to lead in ministry while still finding a way to stay focused on their primary tasks of preaching and praying. And so there's several things that we can learn in a positive way also from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The first one's pretty obvious. If we look at verse 2, we realize that in the church, there are different roles. Now, I say that that is pretty obvious to say that, and it's a very simple thing to say, but sometimes we forget that there are different roles to play. And some churches become known for teaching. Other churches become known maybe for a children's ministry. Other churches become known for maybe a food pantry. And churches can begin to take on an identity that's focused around one thing that they excel at. And we forget that there's still multiple roles to play. That a church, even if it becomes well known or excels in one particular area, that doesn't negate the fact that there are still different roles to play. And probably in those churches that are so heavily focused in one thing, maybe those churches find some of these smaller problems that are creeping in that need to be dealt with and addressed. But there are different roles in the church. And what the 12 identify is that these roles are to be shared among everyone. That when this problem came to them, they didn't say, all right, fine, we'll take it on and figure out how to handle this. They decided that what needed to happen was they needed to find others who could be brought in, who could share in the work of ministry. It wasn't right for them to take on the extra work because it would have cut their effectiveness in being centered on the ministry of the word, which is teaching, and on prayer. So the roles had to be shared among everyone. And each role is just as important as another. But in order to be effective, people need to be able to focus on the role that they have without being bogged down by somebody else's role that they're having to pick up the slack for. Now I want you to pay attention to this. Because this is an apostolic word. This is what the 12 said, and this is coming straight from the apostles. They said that it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Notice what they're really saying there. If we take on this additional role that folks are complaining about, we will have to neglect the role that we've been given. By saying that, the reverse of that is that by them staying focused on the ministry of the word and prayer, they then have to neglect the waiting on tables, which is why they appointed and empowered 7 other men to handle that. It's not that it was unimportant, but in order for us to really focus on doing one thing well, we have to be willing to say that we're neglecting something else. And it doesn't mean that they're making a decision about what was most important or that something was unnecessary. It was that for them, they had to focus on the ministry of the word and on prayer, and it meant they themselves had to neglect the waiting on tables, overseeing the food distribution. But that also meant that they were going to appoint others to handle it. By their own example, they said, we can't do everything. We need the help of others. And so this problem in the church actually became an opportunity for ministry and to build the faith of others and to grow their leadership by bringing others in who could oversee something and then be able to go out and do it. And it was as a result of that empowerment and appointing of these 7 men to oversee the food distribution that the problem was solved, ministry was done, and then the church grew. Did you catch that at verse 7? At the end of this story, the word of God spread. That's how verse 7 begins. And I think the implication is that while they had this problem and this dissension and this disagreement among themselves, that it was blocking the spread of the word of God. Because they weren't able to be focused on that, because they were focused on handling or solving that problem that existed within themselves. That's why it's so dangerous to have issues go unresolved. It can impact the spread of the word of God. But problems many times can create an opening or an opportunity for ministry. And when we try to empower people and give them the equipping that they need to try to work on a problem or solve a problem, and ministry happens, and people's faith grows as a result, the word of God can spread. as it did for them. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. Didn't just increase. Increased rapidly. Why? Because they could put, as a church, they could put their focus back on the right things. They weren't bogged down anymore by being sidetracked with disagreements over food and who was better than who and we don't have enough workers and so on. Once they brought some ministry into that and they were able to solve that problem, that barrier was gone. They could put their emphasis back on what really mattered. And as a result, the word spread and the church increased in size rapidly. Even to what point? That a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Priests as in those who were part of the temple system of Judaism. The church now was making serious inroads among the religious leaders, which is significant in Acts because it didn't start out that way. But now the church was making inroads even among the religious leaders. And so we need to recognize that even in the midst of a complaint, there can be the kernel of a real need that we can meet with ministry. And as I said at the beginning, sometimes complaints are just complaints. But sometimes complaints are a call to please give some attention to the issue that I'm seeing here that I don't know how to resolve any other way other than by talking about it in a way that comes out as a complaint. But when we look maybe beneath the surface of some complaints, we can find an opportunity for ministry that we can serve. And by doing that, we can strengthen the church. We can also see that even sometimes the most boring-looking tasks are vitally important for the unity and the progress of the church, and we shouldn't look down upon needed roles in the face of things that look more exciting. Sometimes, and I think especially men can fall into this trap where we want to do something, but we want to make sure that we're seen doing it. And so we like to serve in ways that maybe put us up front during a worship service or a class time or whatever the case may be. And then we don't want to become involved in something behind the scenes that nobody's really going to see. All these roles in the church matter. Everything that happens to keep the building running, the building going, our church programs and activities, the teaching that we do, the work that goes on and everything, there's so many roles that go on, most of which are behind the scenes. They all matter. None are better than the other just because one's seen and one isn't. And we must all work together to share the work, not looking down on others who don't participate in our work, but rather being devoted to the work that we're doing and encouraging others who are devoted to different work. That's another easy temptation, is for us to look at what I'm doing is most important. It's a tendency we all have. Why else would we be involved with something? Because we think it's important. But we have to realize that just because we think our work is important doesn't mean it's more important than somebody else's work. And we need to stay focused on encouraging one another. If we focus on our ability to pitch in and to do some work, to find a way to serve and to do it well, and to focus on the glory that we can bring to God by doing the work that we have, that's the way for the church to move forward. If we stay focused on ourselves and what somebody is or isn't doing for us and why we're not getting the recognition that we want or that we think we deserve, or we're going to neglect something else entirely because it just doesn't fit our agenda or our needs at the time, we're going to find ourselves stalling out, like we read about in the beginning of chapter 6, and our ability to spread the word of God will be seriously impaired until we fix that problem. So imagine how we could function, how we could meet needs, how we could not overload people who are already doing the work of ministry and expect too much from just a few. And imagine how we could stop complaining, and imagine how we could experience unity and growth by following the example that the 12 left for us here. They didn't say, go solve the problem yourself. It's ridiculous. They didn't say, everyone's getting the same amount of food, so just deal with it. They took the complaint seriously, and they figured out how to address it. And in doing so, they figured out how to expand the ministry of the church, how to increase involvement from others, and still how to keep the Word of God and prayer at the center. That's how a church should function properly. The Word of God and prayer are at the center of its experience, and then ministry opportunities, as they arise, spread out from there. Let us all strive to keep the Word of God and prayer at the center of our personal lives and of the life of this church. Let us all seek not to complain about things we don't like, but to find ways to meet needs and to serve others. And if we see something wrong, let us not complain about it, but let's figure out how we can bring some service to that need and try to meet it somehow. Because when we do that, when we focus on the Word of God and on prayer and on the needs of others and meeting those needs, that's when we all contribute to the growth of God's church. And that's when the Word of God can spread. And that's when we'll see a church progressing the way that God wants it to. If anybody's here this morning and needs to maybe be baptized into the name of Jesus, to be added to the church, if anybody needs to begin a journey of faith this morning, I would encourage you to let us know what your need is by coming forward as we stand and sing.